in Colorado has been among the one or two, maybe three senators who has really stood up to the NSA. He is one of the boldest senators as regards privacy rights and a host of concerns that cross party boundaries. And so in these Senate elections, while we talk a lot about the fight for control of the Senate, we should also be conscious that some of these senators are unique figures. And if Udall gets beat in Colorado, you will lose one of your loudest voices on NSA issues.
And what about the significance of the surge of Cory Gardner? How is that happening, John?
I am not connected.
John, we hear you. John, can you hear us? John, if you could talk about the surge of Cory Gardner in Colorado. Let me ask that question to Lee Fong.
Well, Colorado, Amy, has been a swing state for many years. In fact, President Obama and national Democrats can trace their current fortunes back to 2006, when, in the wake of the 2004 presidential election, a group of Democratic donors poured resources into Colorado to flip that state to the Democratic column. And since then, we've seen that state trending blue for the last 8 years. Now, Republicans have become obsessed with reversing that trend, and they have, in turn, poured their own resources not only into grooming candidates, but into think tanks, into local media outlets, and into data survey efforts to increase Republican turnout. And in this political arms race, you see candidates like Cory Gardner, who are very close to the Republican donor network that created this Republican resurgence, where Republicans might not only take the Colorado Senate seat, they could also take the governor's office as well. So Cory Gardner is very close to energy interests. He attended the secret Koch gathering last June over the summer, and he's benefited from a lot of that dark money and outside coordination that we were discussing earlier.
We're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you both for being with us. And, of course, we're going to continue to follow this tonight. We'll be doing a live broadcast on the midterm elections beginning at 7 Eastern Standard Time from the studios of Democracy Now! In New York. We'll be covering the country. Lee Fong's recent investigation for The Nation is Mitch McConnell's freighted ties to a shadowy shipping company. We'll link to it. He's also blogged about how, if the GOP takes the Senate, climate change deniers will control key committees, reporting fellow at the Investigative Fund blogs about money and politics at the Republic Report. And thanks so much to John Nichols, political writer for The Nation, latest book, Dollarocracy. That does it for our show. I'll be speaking in Washington, D.C. on Thursday. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mattei. Thanks so much for joining us.
Your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, November 2nd. The Tommy Dorsey Orchestra will be at the Patchogue Theater for.
I'm very worried. What is going to happen after tonight? First of all, we're going to look like idiots in front of the world. I always hate that.
But we should be used to it by now.
I'm used to it. Yes. Do you have any theories?
I think voter turnout is the bottom line. So if you're listening to this show right now, you should be doing, and you haven't voted yet, you should absolutely be getting out to vote. We'll excuse you to drive up to your polling place or walk over to your polling place. You should vote, because voter turnout is why we have, in many instances, what we have. We're expecting record low turnouts. This is very often in midterms, but this will be the record low, is predicted, of voter turnouts. And
so what does that mean for the people that don't show up? Does that mean they're content? They're bored?
It means they're bored and they're distracted, or something better's on TV, or obviously something's better on the radio. But
do you think there are more bored and distracted people than there are angry Republicans?
Well, see, therein lies the danger, because the angry Republicans are going to come out to vote.
That's right.
That's right. And they're actually, nationally in the minority. And
are they? Wait, say that again.
They are. There was some poll I read, and I can't quote what it was.
Say the whole thing. Say
that they're actually in the minority.
But use the proper noun. The who are in the minority?
The Republicans.
The whole sentence. Say the whole sentence, please. I just need
to hear this. The angry Republicans are in the minority.
Throughout the entire country?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Finn. Thank you.
But they're voting. So, no thank you. Have you voted yet?
No. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Now, I voted early
totally
this morning.
Totally slipped my mind. My God.
Now, you'll be voting after the show.
I've been calling people. I've been knocking on doors. I've been shouting in the street. And that does get attention, by the way.
It does.
And I totally forgot I can vote as well myself. What was I thinking? Yeah. Well,
they
you know
allow,
what?
They allow you to vote?
You know what? Last year, I didn't vote. I wonder if you remember this. Last year, I was deathly ill on election day. In fact, I was over at the house with Kyle. I said, Kyle, I can't go on. I can't make it. You do the show without me.
That's right.
And he was like, okay. Okay. I'll be able to speak my mind and not have you interrupt me with all your crazy politics and theories and things. It went on for 20 minutes. That's why he was late. Yeah, again, I'm lying. It's radio. But no, I didn't vote last election day. I was at home sick in bed. It's the first time ever that I didn't vote. Mm-hmm. So I kind of forgot how.
I voted at 6 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
Well, 6:30. And
what's your polling place like?
My polling place is at, well, I live in Queens. And my polling place is an old folks' home.
Named
after a local politician.
You vote in an old folks' home?
That is correct.
I vote in a school. I used to vote in a church. I'd like to hear some of the crazy places people vote in. Why can't there be just like an election center where people vote?
Right.
Why does it have to be like, you know, well, piggybacked onto something
else? In
this
particular place, this old folks' home is essentially named after a local politician.
Mm-hmm.
So when he does run, we are reminded, you know, of his name everywhere.
Wait a minute. You vote in a place that has the name of somebody who's running for office?
Well, not this time, but in the past, this person has run for office. This person is not running. This time, he's still in office.
That's insane.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I thought voting in a church was insane, but that's even more insane.
Yes, it is. And you know, there's some obstructions getting into the building, mainly older people in walkers, in wheelchairs, et cetera, and who are down in the lobby area. But then you work your way in, and it was actually
Very have trouble getting in, or you have trouble getting in because there are so many
They're trying to get out. They're trying to get in.
But it's an old folks' home. Of course they're trying to get out.
Naturally.
Wow. So were there many people at 6:30 in the morning?
Yes, I believe I was number 50.
50?
Even, yes.
Oh, but you weren't in a line of 50. You were the 50th person.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
They assign you the number when you come in. You take the paper, you...
Another thing, and one of my qualms is that they always have Election Day on the first Tuesday of November. I think it's the first Tuesday of November. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's an exception to that. Maybe if it's November 1st, they don't have it on... I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
There's some kind of rule. And this all dates back to when people had to drive into town from the farm with a horse and carriage. And it took them that long to get there after, I guess, the weekend. So that's why it's on Tuesday. And it's after harvest. Really, mm-hmm. This is why. Mm-hmm. It's time we update that a little bit, just like it's time we update all kinds of things. And let's have elections over a weekend like every other civilized country does.
Correct.
You know, like Sunday... It's election day. Ukraine had election. I think all kinds of countries. Was it Peru or Brazil? I don't know. They always have elections on Sunday.
Right. And in this particular case in the United States, obviously it works to the benefit of the people who do not want a large voter turnout of the mass people because people have to work. I mean, I had to go to work today.
That's the thing. Everyone has to, you know.
Either they should give that Tuesday off or it should be a Sunday.
6:30 in the morning. You know, having to vote at 6:30. What if there was a line? What would you have done then?
I would have been late to work, which would have been okay.
Some people would get off the line and go to work.
Correct. And most people don't. I mean, that's I think, one of the major impediments to voting is that the day of – it's a Tuesday. It's not a holiday, per se. Some people are off, but most people are not. And they are expected to make it to the polls. And granted, the polls are open to whatever time in the evening, 9 p.m. in most places.
Excuse me. They closed at 6 p.m. in Kentucky.
Oh, well, that's Kentucky.
Yeah. So if you're in Kentucky, well, you're screwed for a lot of reasons, but that's another reason you're screwed. 6 p.m. I mean, come on. They basically time it so that if you have a 9-to-5 job, you can't vote at all.
Correct. Correct.
Wow.
So that means the people who, quote-unquote, do not need the money are voting.
People who, yes. What if they paid everybody if they voted, like jury duty?
That would be a wonderful thing.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be nice. Even if it was its smallest stipend of $5.
A country like Austria or Sweden, they could do that. They could just hand out the money and say, yeah, come on down and vote, and we're going to pay you to do that.
Correct.
It doesn't matter who you vote for, obviously, but we need to encourage people more. I think if you actually went out there, but this is the thing. They do take polls, and everyone seems to be believing by the polls. They call people, I guess. And these people aren't necessarily going to go down to the voting booths. From those polls, they get numbers.
Right.
So maybe the numbers wouldn't change that much if everybody came down and voted. That's what I'm a little worried about.
Well, you know, that's what I actually don't believe. I think if more people came out and voted and voted what they thought, then the country would be an entirely different place.
Yeah, well, you know, anything that makes a country an entirely different place is something worth exploring.
Exactly,
because,
correct.
Because, yeah, we need change. We need all kinds of changes, some of which I agree with, some of which I don't agree with. But one thing we do not need is to go back to the way it was. And that is what people seem to be basically wanting to do.
I think the Fox News message has crept into the public psyche, and the more they hammer at it, more effective the message seems to be in getting through. And I think that's a sad thing, because people do not really appreciate what they have very often, and the rights and that have been fought for.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what are people angry about. I listed some of the positive things. I mean, look, we have gay marriage initiatives all over the country that I guess, you know, there are people still that are upset by that. I guess there are people that are upset that there's universal health care, mm-hmm. even though it's not as good as it could be. They're upset that it exists in the first place, and mm-hmm. they've convinced themselves that it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I don't see why people would be upset that unemployment has gone down. I don't see why they'd be upset that the economy's gotten better. I don't see why they'd be upset that our troops aren't in foreign countries right now fighting pointless wars. The only thing I can think of that they would really be upset about is that there's a black Muslim in office who's a foreigner.
That's
That's something I can't change. Who brought Ebola to our shores, too, by the way.
That's right, single-handedly.
Wow. So I'm looking at Fox News now because you just reminded me that they exist. And exit polls show 34% of voters cast ballots to show opposition to Obama policies. Well, wait a minute. 34%, that almost sounds like that's a minority. They cast ballots to show opposition to Obama policies. But then I guess if you read into that a little bit more, 34% showed up just to do that. So maybe that's an ominous sign.
Yeah. Plus, it's obviously the couching of the data by Fox News.
Here's a story that I just saw on my phone about you hear about this McConnell photobomb?
No.
You know what a photobomb is,
yeah,
right?
I do, yes.
Okay. Basically, you jump into somebody's picture. I've seen it happen live, and it's pretty damn funny. Well, somebody did that to Mitch McConnell today.
The guy that talks
like the turtle in the cartoon. And even looks like him, too. I still haven't seen... It says I've seen in the photo above, but I don't have the photo above, so I have to actually find it myself. Mitch McConnell's photo op was ruined when one of his constituents gave him a very enthusiastic thumbs down in the background. It's a great photo. The contrast between McConnell's seriousness and the red-shirted man's mockery is great, and the timing couldn't be better. And yet, Democratic candidate Allison Lundegan Grimes,
right.
who I guess is running against him,
right. mm-hmm.
she initially tweeted this. She deleted her tweet. That was making fun of him. Why? That's the question everyone's asking. Why? Why do Democrats do this? Why don't they ever stand up for their convictions? Why don't they ever get a bit loud and why don't they say we're proud of who we are, what we believe in? Why don't they believe in something? How about that? It's so annoying. And I think it's more the Democrats earning a loss and the Republicans earning a victory.
Right. You are correct. It's one of those things where she feels obligated, her staff feels obligated, because they're worried about what the Republicans... I don't know why they're worried about it.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to win them over, and they're never going to win them over. Why? Right. You should offend these people. Nobody likes to offend people anymore. I still like to offend people. It's a good thing to do. Insulting, offending, outraging, that's how you get places. That's how you get reactions and you get a dialogue going. You try to win everybody over, you're not going to win anybody over.
Correct.
I'm going to look for that picture. Not that it's going to serve our listeners at all, but
But we'll be laughing about it.
We will. And if we're happy, it reflects better on everybody.
That's right.
Okay. Let's see. Now it's not there. There's a lot about McConnell, but nothing about the photobomb. All right. Thumbs down. Here we go. Kentucky vote. Oh, it's a Kentucky voter, too. Now, that voter cannot vote right now because their polls are closed, but pulls off epic photobomb. It'd have to be a Kentucky voter, obviously. Let's see. Where...
I see a picture of Mitch McConnell.
I see a picture of Mitch McConnell, and he looks like he's in pain. He's speaking at CPAC 2011. That would explain it.
Yeah, it looks like his neck is about
to explode. There we go. Okay, there's the thumbs down.
I like it. What is he voting?
He's in one of those crazy election booths, which they replaced all the real voting booths with these things here, too.
And I miss the old voting booths.
I really do. I mean, people say, oh, there was no paper trail. But, you know, you could modify the thing so that it prints something out or whatever. You're inside a room with a curtain. You have privacy. You don't have privacy here. And this is a good example of why. You got a guy in back of you giving a thumbs down. You can see the person as they're voting. I had people come around behind me to borrow pencils. They could see what I was doing. That's not voting.
Right.
You know, and then when you hand the sheet to somebody, it's like they're faxing it someplace, but they're actually just scanning it, and you don't know for sure if that's working properly. It seems like there's a lot of ways things can go wrong, as opposed to simply pressing buttons, throwing a lever, and hearing that ker-chunk, and knowing that it's, well, assuming that it's actually doing something. Yeah, it would be nice to get confirmation that it was actually doing something, but this filling in, you know, the Scantron form, like you're taking a test in sixth grade, mm-hmm. that doesn't make me feel any better.
Right. Now, I have to tell you that this year, for the first time, they did not take the sheet from me. I fed it in myself.
Really?
That's right. So I was allowed to touch the scan.
Earned their trust over the years.
I have. It's been a long battle.
Well, you see, I missed last year, so I think I have to start from scratch again.
But yeah, there's the shot of Mitch McConnell voting and the thumbs down for the... You should not, behind him.
Okay, you know, I think it's a great picture, but I don't think you should be able to take a picture of somebody while they're voting.
Okay.
Take a picture of them as they're going in, take a picture of them as they're going out, fine. But you can see the guy, and, you know, he looks really confused behind that voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we should be seeing him like the other guy. I mean, first of all, look at his head. Look at, you know, the guy is looking over from, I think, is it one or two booths back?
I don't know. It looks like one.
That's one booth back. Mm-hmm. So he's looking over that. He could be looking at what Mitch McConnell is doing. He could see exactly who he's voting for.
And I'm pretty sure it's predictable anyway, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the interesting thing. What about those Democratic candidates who refused to say who they voted for in the last presidential election? They didn't want to be associated with Obama. They're Democrats.
Right.
You know, you are associated with them. You might as well wear that with pride and you know, deal with the things you disagree with. But don't, you know, say that... Well, I'm not going to say who I voted for because, you know, even though, yeah, it is a secret poll and you are supposed to have your privacy, it's the wrong time to have that battle because it's just going to be twisted and distorted. And
right.
That's exactly what happened. And it just, it served against these people, I think.
I agree.
All right. Finn, you're here because, it's great to have a conversation with you, but you're also here to serve a real purpose.
And that's correct.
To answer the phone.
That is correct. And if listeners out there appreciate this kind of conversation or non-conversation, whatever you think it may be, this entertaining jaunt into electioneering here, 631-632-6901, 631-632-6901. You can make a pledge to WUSB Stony Brook. Any amount is wonderful. Give us a call right now, 631-632-6901.
Be gone. Okay. Finn is off. He's, wow, look at him tear across the wow. Okay, thank you for calling, person who's calling in. If there are more people to call in, 631-632-6901. There's only one Finn, but we have five phone lines, so he'll have to do some time sharing. If you give a call now, 631-632-6901. We're here on Election Day. We're going to go back in time to a previous campaign, just to sort of get in the spirit of things. Political debates and campaigns and elections, it's something that we have to deal with for it seems a long, long time. And sometimes it goes according to plan, and sometimes it doesn't. Here's a flashback to one of those times where it kind of didn't. Okay, and somebody put the switch in the wrong position. I'm sorry. My fault. I should have checked because everything here is always in the wrong position. So let me just fix that, and here we are.
And now the Bob and Ray staff is very happy to allot the next minute to Mr. Ralph Moody Lancaster for an answer to Mr. Sturdley's last appearance here a half an hour ago. Mr. Lancaster.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get down to facts. Let's stop this shilly-shallying around and this small backbiting established by my opponent, Mr. Sturdley, in his broadcast of yesterday last. The fact that he served in the United States Army, which he touched upon, does not in any way indicate that he is the rightful candidate for the office. As a matter of fact, as technician fifth grade, in charge of PX supplies, I happen to know that my opponent did not see action of any type. This, again, you may call dirty fighting. If he doesn't want to call it that, well, he has his own reasons. To get down to the facts, we are approaching a very important election in a very important campaign. And we must take all of the matters into what? Into consideration, and I hope you do that before you go to the polls.
Time is up, sir. That's all.
Right now it's 18 after 5, and here's a special introductory offer guaranteed in writing. What's that? Yes, Mr. Sturdley will have a chance to answer him.
Well, that's good. I've been listening very, very closely to both these gentlemen. And
well, getting into war records now, that's kind of...
Yes, they're getting on subjects that have nothing to do at all with, the point at
hand. They're wasting their valuable radio time.
Okay, well, we don't want to waste any more valuable radio time. That's looking back in an election of the past. Yeah, things just, they're kind of similar, they're kind of different, but it's an American thing. Oh, and a bulletin came into... to my phone. Actually, never mind, it's an SMS message, and I'm not going to read that over the air. we had a call.
We did. We had Keith from Smithtown calling, thinking that there were, you know, his opinion is that there are some serious issues that are of concern that the Obama administration, that the Democrats have not gotten a handle on, and he believes those issues are immigration, the $18 trillion debt, the healthcare scenario along with immigration, because the universal healthcare is certainly an issue with people coming into the country illegally, and he also believes that Iraq is worse off than we started.
Well, okay. There's a lot of issues there, but most of the things that have been pointed out have to do with Republicans. They started this. They started the wars. What were the other issues here? Healthcare. Are we in worse shape because people have affordable healthcare now? You know, I still don't have it because my insurance company really pulled a number on me this spring, canceled me after the deadline. But I'm looking forward to the 15th of this month when I can actually sign up for something that's affordable.
Uh-huh.
It's lower than it was before. The deductible is lower. And now finally it's accepted by places around here. So even though I have been without insurance for a year because of this new policy, I am very much looking forward to being a part of it. Immigration. Why is immigration something that is suddenly such a crisis? I don't get it. I see a lot of fear. I see a lot of misinformation. I don't see how that situation has gotten worse over the past 6 years. People react so strongly against people from certain countries coming into this country.
Correct.
But not others. And that, to me, that's the issue, is that, you know, like what happened in Comac with the kids.
Right.
That kind of blind hatred and fear and just misperception, that's what really troubles me. I do not see any indication that people coming into this country from other countries have made things worse. And I would like to have more people coming from other countries to help steer us in a better direction. But that's just my crazy view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Keith's angle there was mainly the extra burden put on the economy by having people come in, for example, on the healthcare system.
Well, you know, the extra burden, really. Look at the defense budget. That's a real burden right there. Mm-hmm. You know, look at all the and you talk about the debt. The debt has gotten better. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's my understanding that
the debt's gone down. Right?
It's gone down significantly.
Correct.
When was there a surplus in this country? During Clinton, there was a surplus. What happened? George W. Bush was elected. We got involved in two wars, and all of a sudden we had a record deficit. That was the Republicans that did that. The Republicans brought us into a recession. I don't know why people don't remember this.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, it's not my opinion. That is a fact. All you have to do is look up the numbers, look when they happened, and you'll see that is the case. Things have gotten better in the last 6 years. No, they're not as good as they were because it takes time. You know, I almost think it's like some kind of a chess game where one administration says, let's make things as bad as possible so that when the next administration gets voted in, they get blamed for it because, uh-huh. you know, we know it's going to be the other side. In fact, you know, I kind of wonder if that might be happening here, where Democrats might be happy to have Republicans move in because then they could be blamed for whatever happens in the next 2 years. And uh-huh. then another Democratic leader can get elected. But then you have the people that are running for Congress saying, wait a minute, a Democratic president is going to mess up my chances to get reelected in another few years because traditionally opinion goes against the president. So I'm not going to be supportive of that. It's just politics is crazy.
Politics is crazy. That's our analysis.
All right. I'm told we have a rebuttal now to what we were just playing. You know, I didn't mean to get into a whole thing with this election of the past, but I guess since I started it, we might as well finish it. Here's the rebuttal.
Now, it's a time for another debate, isn't it? Let's hear this rebuttal.
Ladies and gentlemen, sitting at home looking at my radio yesterday and listening to my worthy opponent, I jotted down a few notes, which I would like to pass along to you and which I feel at this election eve hour are most important in your consideration of whom to vote for when you go to the polls. Fact number one is the issues in the campaign, which we have barely touched upon in these short minutes of radio debate, so to speak. These issues should be more fully covered. And a note is being handed to me. Excuse me. Oh. It seems I've been called away on urgent business pertaining to the city.
You've been indicted.
And I'd like to thank you all again for your attention. And may the best man win. What do you mean, indicted?
Time is up, sir.
Shocking state of affairs there.
It's funny that this should happen on our show today. It's getting embarrassing for us. We'll have to hear the other gentleman.
Mr. Sturdley will answer him shortly.
Oh, boy, will he have an answer.
Okay. Wow. It certainly is embarrassing sometimes covering politics, but it's also fun. I don't know. You can't take it too seriously because you'll go crazy if you do.
Correct.
So, I don't know. Any other issues that we should focus on as far as what's happening today?
Well, I think the biggest issue is to get out and vote. No matter what you think, it's get out and vote. And I understand the apathy involved because we all feel like we have very little control over the situation or that our voices aren't heard. And I have to tell you, when I was in the polling booth today, I voted, but I voted against everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's good to do that as long as you're not setting it up so that you get something that's bad for you.
Well, I understand that argument, too.
Yeah.
However, I where I live, mm-hmm. the effects on some local races were not going to be specifically great by my vote against
right.
certain people I would prefer over others. However, I did not vote Democratic or Republican today.
Well, you can always vote for the same candidates in different parties.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, I don't know how that actually works, if they count them first or if they save them for later or if it results in some other party getting more funding or something like that. But mm-hmm. I tend to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It calls to mind 2000, which mm-hmm. was the year, obviously, where everything went bananas. And in our state, in New York, it wouldn't have made any difference,
right.
No matter who you voted for. So you could say that Gore and Bush were the same, even though that's not true, and I came to realize that. But in another place, such as, say, Florida,
mm-hmm.
doing that would have worked against you.
And we're talking about voting for Nader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though Nader was a better candidate, by voting for him...
In certain places.
Taking away votes from the side that would ultimately be better than the side that would win. It's a stupid way of doing it. I agree. But it's what we have right now, and we have to deal with that.
Right.
And not screw ourselves in the process. And I think that's what a lot of people might be inadvertently doing in parts of the country where the Senate race does matter, and where basically handing the Republicans a Senate majority will hurt all of us. So it's probably too late. In some places, it's definitely too late, like Kentucky, for instance, to appeal to people to wake up and, you know, do something. I guess we'll just have to see what happens.
Right.
All right. Well, I've reached my conclusion with 15 minutes to go. We'll just have to wait and see.
While you guys are also out there getting ready to vote, if you have not, give us a call right now, 631-632-6901. Make a pledge to WUSB Stony Brook. If you appreciate this kind of discussion that is occurring, if you appreciate the programs that are on WUSB Stony Brook, give us a call, 631-632-6901. Make a pledge to this station. Show your support for free thought, free speech, free thinking. 631-632-6901.
You know, there's a lot of misconception, fear, hatred out there. And we can close our eyes and try to ignore it, pretend it doesn't exist. But it's there. It's there. It does need to be dealt with one way or another. And one thing that I feel we definitely should do is not give it so much importance that it becomes dominant. But at the same time, let's not ignore it. There was a story recently about an Islamic center being constructed in New Hyde Park, Nassau County. Here's a story from Newsday. Construction has resumed on the Hillside Islamic Center in North New Hyde Park after the town of North Hempstead hired a special engineer to oversee the $1.4 million project. The town board at its October 21st meeting hired Cashin Associates of Hopog to monitor work at the Hillside Avenue Center, where construction was started last year and it was halted a second time last month because of problems with the installation of the steel beams and foundation. Now, the president of the center, Abdul Aziz Bulyan, said the hiring was discriminatory because the town had not retained specialists to monitor non-Muslim projects. Spokeswoman Carol Trotter said last week that the town had hired an outside engineer twice in recent years to monitor non-Muslim private construction projects. But basically, there was a bit of a controversy going on here. People seem to feel that undue attention was being paid to this project. And whether or not this was a particular example of that, if you look around, you will see that the public does get very, very upset and fearful when something like this is constructed in their neighborhood. There's just no question about that. Build a church, no one's going to say anything. Build a mosque, you're going to have protests. And that is wrong. There is something seriously wrong with that. So, of course, you know, as I like to do and as I shouldn't do, I read the comments sometimes after stories like this, particularly on Newsday, which brings out some of the most hateful people in the world. I don't know why, but it really does. It doesn't matter what the story is. You know, it could be a story about, hey, the sun was particularly nice today. And you'll get people saying anti-Mexican, anti-whatever race of your choice, hateful things every single time. Now, in this particular case, after this story, a couple of the comments. Muslims marching across America under the radar until the day they turn on us, using our laws to destroy us. Yeah. Another person says, apparently if you bury a pig on the site, they won't build there. Yeah. Screw them, send them packing. Useless expletive in a world that doesn't want that evil. This person says, convert, submit as a slave, die. Your choice is in Islam. Look it up. There cannot be coexistence with Islam. Never. Another person says, nothing good has ever come out of a mosque. And finally, other religions in general don't disregard zoning and other laws. These are rabid dogs staking a claim to your turf. good luck with that. It always ends badly. This was just the first page. There were something like 20 pages of this.
Naturally.
But this is the kind of crap that comes out every single time. This is hate. It's hate speech. It really is. It's unhealthy. It's sick. And we are the problem a lot more than anything that we are pointing fingers at. Now, I realize, you know, looking at this, there was an editorial, I think, endorsing Cuomo not too long ago, and something like 95% of the comments were people endorsing the other guy. I don't even remember his name, do you?
No.
Wow, that's something.
The Republican you're talking about?
Yeah, who's the Republican governor?
I don't even look at that column, so I really can't tell you.
I mean, I feel sorry. He's been campaigning. I know he's probably a millionaire. He's a Republican, but whatever. Okay. But they all wanted this guy. And I realize, you know, if you look at the poll numbers, Cuomo is way far ahead.
Right.
So these guys don't represent a significant amount of people. I mean, maybe, you know, a significant minority, but they are a big minority.
Right.
Yet, I'm getting all flustered by reading all these comments and making them more important than they actually are. Just because they're loud, they repeat themselves, they get their friends. But they are the minority, and we have to remember that. They don't count as much, and they're stupid. They're stupid, hateful, spiteful people.
Well, that's
we must treat them that way.
Well, that's the beauty of the internet soapbox. Everybody can get up on it and shout.
Yeah, but the thing is, the internet soapbox does not reflect reality.
Correct.
It reflects who can get more people and type faster than other people, who can be more offensive and draw more attention to themselves. And then all of a sudden, that offensive statement gets so much attention that it becomes a dominant statement.
Right.
When in actuality, it's just one idiot saying something in a crowd of reasonable people.
Right. And so, in fact, that is the thing, is that, as you just said, it's a minority opinion initially, but it affects reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what winds up happening.
And then you wind up with Fox News, you know, because basically,
that's right.
I think Fox News started the same way,
right?
Where basically someone, you know, a Rush Limbaugh type was saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to just be offensive and say what's on my mind and not give any concern to people that might disagree with me or people this might actually hurt. And, you know, I remember back in the 80s, it was sort of seen as a joke during the Reagan era. Who was that guy? Morton Downey? Was that the guy?
Sure, Morton Downey Jr.
Yeah, he was like really offensive on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like a joke. It was kind of like, okay, I'm going to see how far I can shock people.
And by today's standards, he's not.
Because people said, you know what? Okay, I agree with that. And I'm going to say it too. I want to get the attention. And before you knew it, more and more people started saying shocking things. And and wow, it became a valid opinion, a legitimate opinion, even though when you dissect it, it makes no sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to consider when you have these debates, when you are speaking with people about these issues. You have to ask where does their point of view come from? What is it based upon? And also, you know, one thing I like to do when I'm arguing with people, I like to find out what will it take to convince you that you're wrong. For instance, if I'm debating somebody about gun control, which I try not to do because it never ends, I try to find out, okay, what will it take? Because, you know, it doesn't seem to matter. You can have, a mass shooting in a kindergarten, in a mall. You can have a home invasion where somebody takes the gun out of somebody's drawer that's in the home, allegedly to protect themselves, and kills everybody in the family. Doesn't matter what happens. They will never be convinced that the proliferation of guns is a bad thing.
Correct.
So what's the point of having the argument if there is nothing under the sun, yes, get my astronomy right, that will convince them that they are wrong?
That's one of the
I can probably say what will convince me that I'm wrong, you know, if it's proven over and over again that guns make people safer and the numbers exist, then, yeah, I'll say I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But those numbers don't exist. I haven't seen them.
That's right. But however, if you look at Fox News, they will say exactly the opposite, and they'll turn statistics around anyway.
Exactly. Yes.
So that you know, sometimes it's hard to get to the truth of the situation, and none of the people on either side want you to get to the truth. They want to just perpetuate their arguments. In fact, so.
Well, I'd like to get to the truth.
Me too.
Because I like to, you know, make some progress in one direction or another, hopefully in the direction that I think makes the most sense. But if I'm totally wrong, I'd like to know that so that we can get past this and start doing something and becoming happier and better.
But I actually think, I can't recall exactly when, but I actually think I've heard you admit you were wrong a couple of times.
Yeah, it did happen. I think twice. I don't remember, though.
I've never done it on the air myself.
Yeah, but it's refreshing to be proven wrong, too, because it when you have a different outlook on something, new possibilities open up.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's kind of like when a friend becomes an enemy. Wow, all kinds of new possibilities now, you know. we can be at loggerheads and have all kinds of insults hurled back and forth. Keeping your mind open and not just digging in your heels because it's a point of personal pride. I think that's the way to go, you know. Open yourself up to being wrong.
631-632-6901. Show your support for this kind of chat on the radio on WUSB Stony Brook. If this is important to you, if this dialogue is important to you, give us a call right now. Make a pledge. 631-632-6901. Show your support for Off the Wall.
If we have convinced you to go out and vote, I think you should call. I think you should call and give a little something to the radio station that got you to think, that got you to right. to change the course of history a little bit.
631-632-6901.
You see, in many ways, people think that their vote doesn't count, but it does, because the turnout counts, the interactions count, the thinking counts. Maybe your vote today won't matter at all in the bigger scheme of things, but the discussion that you have with other people about your vote, that plays a part in changing the course of dialogue, and it changes who you are too, so that next year you'll also vote or you'll tell people about something. It makes a difference in ways that you might not realize, and in a very similar way your call makes a difference. I think in a more dramatic way it makes a difference, because every little bit really counts here,
right?
So 631-632-6901. And we give you things in return in addition to the radio station.
Give us a call right now, 631-632-6901. Show your support for WUSB Stony Brook and Off the Wall.
I don't like coffee. I just realized that.
You finished it. You were sucking it down over there.
Yeah, but why have I been battling? I think it's more a point of honor that I just deserved a cup of coffee, and I just don't care for
and
the
taste.
And
you did pretty much suck up all that whipped cream that you were complaining about earlier.
Yeah, I know. I'll pay for that later. All right. We are out of time. Finn, you're coming up next. Do you know that?
I am coming up next. All right. We're going to be doing a tribute to, well, actually, we're going to be playing tons of cuts from the new release, Bob Dylan and the Band.
I'm going out with Bob Dylan. No, I don't mean hey, I'm now. Seeing him. No, I mean I'm going out the show. I'm closing with Bob Dylan. How's that?
Perfect.
Yeah.
But the new bootleg Series 11, and we're going to have, if you make some nice pledges, we shall have some copies of it for you tonight.
Wow. That's more than I can offer.
I'm telling you.
All I can offer is a political song about political times.
By Bob Dylan,
yes. Okay. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn coming up. Call us, 631-632-6901. I'm going to go out to a bar and drink my sorrows away. Good night.
We live in a political world. Love don't have any place. We're living in times where men commit crimes and crime don't have a face. We live in a political world, icicles hanging down, wedding bells ringing, angels singing, clouds cover up the ground. We live in a political world, wisdom is thrown into jail, it rots in a cell misguided as hell, leaving no one to pick up a trail. In a political world where mercy walks the plank, life is in mirrors, death disappears up the steps into the nearest bay. We live in a political world. Courage is a thing of the past. Houses are haunted, children are unwanted. Your next day could be your last. We live in a political world. The
easy way out. We live in a political world where peace is not welcome at all. It's time to wave the door for one to slow or put up against the wall. We live in a political world. Everything's a hers and his. Climbing in a flame and shout God's name, but you're not even sure what it is.
Yeah, kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution right here in WUSB Stony Brook until the 9 p.m. hour. We're going to be featuring tonight Bob Dylan and the band, The Basement Tapes, the bootleg series Volume 11 just came out today. And we're going to spend a couple of hours delving into some of it, some of the rarities. And for a pledge of $25, you can get yourself a copy of the 2-CD set, The Basement Tapes Raw, the bootleg series Volume 11. $25. Pledge to this station and get you a copy of that. I only have six of them, so give me a call right now, 631-632-6901. That's 631-632-6901. Hey, now, we already have one pledger, Stephen, who's currently on hold. I'm keeping him on hold here while I'm talking to you, for the brand new Bob Dylan and the Band, The Basement Tapes Raw 2-CD set. $25 pledge will get you a copy of that. I only have a few of them, but today, the Basement Tapes Bootleg Series Volume 11 from Bob Dylan on Columbia just came out, and it's a magical thing, I'm telling you. Give us a call, 631-632-6901, if you'd like a copy of the 2-CD version of Bob Dylan and the Band, The Basement Tapes, for a pledge of $25 to WUSB Stony Brook, 631-632-6901. Here's a familiar song, not a part of the original release, Bob Dylan and the Band, but The Basement Tapes, but I think you'll recognize it.
San Antonio, I never felt so good. My woman said she'd meet me there, and of course I knew she would. The coachman, he hit me for my hook, he asked me for my name. I gave it to him right away, hung my head in shame. Lo and behold, lo and behold, looking for my me out of here, my dear man. Now I came into Pittsburgh, it was 6:30 flat. I found myself a vacant seat, and there I put my hat. What's the matter, Molly dear? What's the matter with your mom? What's your dream, Moby Dick? Don't you know this is Chicken Town?
Lo and behold, lo and behold, looking for my lo and behold, get me out of here, my dear man.
I bought my doll a herd of moose, the one she could call her own. She came out the very next day just to see where they had flown. I'm going down to Tennessee, get me a truck or something. I'm gonna save my money and rip it up. I come in on a fast wheel, and boys, I sure was slick. I moved in like a tornado and also laid a few tricks on. Moving on out, I'm going to Pittsburgh again. Ride around that herd, ride for home. We're all gonna go to sleep. Lo and behold, lo and behold, looking for my lo and behold, get me out of here, my dear man.
Yeah, take one of Lo and Behold. From the brand new, as in today, The Basement Tapes Raw, the Bootleg Series Volume 11, also the Deluxe Edition. We are currently, for a pledge of $25, sending you, courtesy of WUSB, as a thank you for your generous pledge of $25, a copy of the 2-CD set, The Basement Tapes Raw, the Bootleg Series Volume 11. Just some great, great, great stuff. Beautiful, beautiful things. And we'd like to thank James from Guilford, Connecticut, and Stephen from Smithtown, who've already gotten two copies out there. And there's only four left. So if you would like a copy for a pledge of only $25 to this station, where every penny goes to WUSB Stony Brook, I only have four of these left. Give me a call right now at 631-632-6901. $25 get you a copy of the brand new, released today, Bob Dylan and the Band Basement Tapes Raw, the Bootleg Series Volume 11, 2-CD set. 631-632-6901.